Chapter 4 Wisdom in Action. Krishna, I told this eternal secret to Vivaswat. Vivaswat taught Manu, and Manu taught Ishvaku. Thus, Arjuna, eminent sages received knowledge of yoga in a continuous tradition. But through time, the practice of yoga was lost in the world. The secret of these teachings is profound. I have explained them to you today because you are my friend and devotee. Arjuna, you were born much after Vivaswat. He lived very long ago. Why do you say that you taught this yoga in the beginning? Krishna, you and I have passed through many births, Arjuna. You have forgotten, but I remember them all. My true being is unborn and changeless. I am the Lord who dwells in every creature. Through the power of my own Maya, I manifest myself in a finite form. Whenever Dharma declines and the purpose of life is forgotten, I manifest myself on earth. I am born in every age to protect the good, to destroy evil, and to re-establish Dharma. Those who know me as their own divine self break through the belief that they are the body and are not reborn as separate creatures. Such a one, Arjuna, is united with me. Delivered from selfish attachment, fear, and anger, filled with me, surrendering themselves to me, purified in the fire of my being, many have reached the state of unity in me. As they approach me, so I receive them. All paths, Arjuna, lead to me. Those desiring success in their actions worship the gods. Through action in the world of mortals, their desires are quickly fulfilled. The distinctions of caste, guna, and karma have come from me. I am their cause, but I myself am changeless and beyond all action. Actions do not cling to me because I am not attached to their results. Those who understand this and practice it live in freedom. Knowing this truth, aspirants desiring liberation in ancient times engaged in action. You too can do the same, pursuing an active life in the manner of those ancient sages. What is action, and what is inaction? This question has confused the greatest sages. I will give you the secret of action, with which you can free yourself from bondage. The true nature of action is difficult to grasp. You must understand what is action and what is inaction, and what kind of action should be avoided. The wise see that there is action in the midst of inaction, and inaction in the midst of action. Their consciousness is unified, and every act is done with complete awareness. The awakened sages call a person wise when all his undertakings are free from anxiety about results. All his selfish desires have been consumed in the fire of knowledge. The wise, ever satisfied, have abandoned all external supports. Their security is unaffected by the results of their action. Even while acting, they really do nothing at all. Free from expectations and from all sense of possession, with mind and body firmly controlled by the self, they do not incur sin by the performance of physical action. They live in freedom who have gone beyond the dualities of life. Competing with no one, they are alike in success and failure, and content with whatever comes to them. They are free, without selfish attachments. Their minds are fixed in knowledge. They perform all work in the spirit of service, and their karma is dissolved. The process of offering is Brahman. That which is offered is Brahman. Brahman offers the sacrifice in the fire of Brahman. Brahman is attained by those who see Brahman in every action. Some aspirants offer material sacrifices to the gods. Others offer selfless service as sacrifice in the fire of Brahman. Some renounce all enjoyment of the senses, sacrificing them in the fire of sense restraint. Others partake of sense objects, but offer them in service through the fire of the senses. Some offer the workings of the senses and the vital forces through the fire of self-control, kindled in the path of knowledge. Some offer wealth. Others offer sense restraint and suffering. Some take vows and offer knowledge and study of the scriptures. And some make the offering of meditation. Some offer the forces of vitality, regulating their inhalation and exhalation, and thus gain control over these forces. Others offer the forces of vitality through restraint of their senses. All these understand the meaning of service and will be cleansed of their impurities. True sustenance is in service, and through it a man or woman reaches the eternal Brahman. But those who do not seek to serve are without a home in this world. Arjuna, how can they be at home in any world to come? These offerings are born of work, and each guides mankind along a path to Brahman. Understanding this, you will attain liberation. The offering of wisdom is better than any material offering, Arjuna, for the goal of all work is spiritual wisdom. Approach those who have realized the purpose of life and question them with reverence and devotion. They will instruct you in this wisdom. Once you attain it, you will never again be deluded. You will see all creatures in the self and all in me. Even if you were the most sinful of sinners, Arjuna, you could cross beyond all sin by the raft of spiritual wisdom. As the heat of a fire reduces wood to ashes, the fire of knowledge burns to ashes all karma. Nothing in this world purifies like spiritual wisdom. It is the perfection achieved in time through the path of yoga, the path which leads to the self within. Those who take wisdom as their highest goal, whose faith is deep and whose senses are trained, attain wisdom quickly and enter into perfect peace. But the ignorant, indecisive, and lacking in faith waste their lives. They can never be happy in this world or any other. Those established in the self have renounced selfish attachments to their actions and cut through doubts with spiritual wisdom. They act in freedom. Arjuna, cut through this doubt in your own heart with the sword of spiritual wisdom. Arise. Take up the path of yoga. Chapter 5. Renounce and Rejoice. Arjuna, O Krishna, you have recommended both the path of selfless action and sannyasa, the path of renunciation of action. Tell me definitely which is better. Krishna, both renunciation of action and the selfless performance of action lead to the supreme goal. But the path of action is better than renunciation. Those who have attained perfect renunciation are free from any sense of duality. They are unaffected by likes and dislikes, Arjuna, and are free from the bondage of self-will. The immature think that knowledge and action are different, but the wise see them as the same. The person who is established in one path will attain the rewards of both. The goal of knowledge and the goal of service are the same. Those who fail to see this are blind. Perfect renunciation is difficult to attain without performing action, but the wise, following the path of selfless service, quickly reach Brahman. Those who follow the path of service, who have completely purified themselves and conquered their senses and self-will, see the self in all creatures and are untouched by any action they perform. Those who know this truth, whose consciousness is unified, think always, "I am not the doer." While seeing or hearing, touching or smelling, eating, moving about or sleeping, breathing or speaking, letting go or holding on, even opening or closing the eyes, they understand that these are only the movements of the senses among sense objects. Those who surrender to Brahman all selfish attachments are like the leaf of a lotus floating clean and dry in the water. Sin cannot touch them. Renouncing their selfish attachments, those who follow the path of service work with body, senses, and mind for the sake of self-purification. Those whose consciousness is unified abandon all attachments to the results of action and attain supreme peace. But those whose desires are fragmented, who are selfishly attached to the results of their work, are bound in everything they do. Those who renounce attachment in all their deeds live content in the city of nine gates, the body, as its master. They are not driven to act, nor do they involve others in action. Neither the sense of acting, nor actions, nor the connection of cause and effect comes from the Lord of this world. These three arise from nature. The Lord does not partake in the good and evil deeds of any person. Judgment is clouded when wisdom is obscured by ignorance. But ignorance is destroyed by knowledge of the self within. The light of this knowledge shines like the sun, revealing the supreme Brahman. Those who cast off sin through this knowledge, absorbed in the Lord and established in Him as their one goal and refuge, are not reborn as separate creatures. Those who possess this wisdom have equal regard for all. They see the same self in a spiritual aspirant and an outcast, in an elephant, a cow, and a dog. Such people have mastered life. With even mind, they rest in Brahman, who is perfect and is everywhere the same. They are not elated by good fortune, nor depressed by bad. With mind established in Brahman, they are free from delusion. Not dependent on any external support, they realize the joy of spiritual awareness. With consciousness unified through meditation, they live in abiding joy. Pleasures conceived in the world of the senses have a beginning and an end, and give birth to misery, Arjuna. The wise do not look for happiness in them. But those who overcome the impulses of lust and anger which arise in the body are made whole and live in joy. They find their joy, their rest, and their light completely within themselves. United with the Lord, they attain nirvana in Brahman. Healed of their sins and conflicts, working for the good of all beings, the holy sages attain nirvana in Brahman. Free from anger and selfish desire, unified in mind, those who follow the path of yoga and realize the self are established forever in that supreme state. Closing their eyes, steadying their breathing, and focusing their attention on the center of spiritual consciousness, the wise master their senses, mind, and intellect through meditation. Self-realization is their only goal. Freed from selfish desire, fear, and anger, they live in freedom, always. Knowing me as the friend of all creatures, the Lord of the universe, the end of all offerings and all spiritual disciplines, they attain eternal peace. Chapter 6. The Practice of Meditation. Krishna, it is not those who lack energy or refrain from action, but those who work without expectation of reward who attain the goal of meditation. Theirs is true renunciation. Therefore, Arjuna, you should understand that renunciation and the performance of selfless service are the same. Those who cannot renounce attachment to the results of their work are far from the path. For aspirants who want to climb the mountain of spiritual awareness, the path is selfless work. For those who have ascended to yoga, the path is stillness and peace. When you have freed yourself from attachment to the results of work and from desires for the enjoyment of sense objects, you will ascend to the unitive state. Reshape yourself through the power of your will. Never let yourself be degraded by self-will. The will is the only friend of the self, and the will is the only enemy of the self. To those who have conquered themselves, the will is a friend, but it is the enemy of those who have not found the self within them. The Supreme Reality stands revealed in the consciousness of those who have conquered themselves. They live in peace, alike in cold and heat, pleasure and pain, praise and blame. They are completely fulfilled by spiritual wisdom and self-realization. Having conquered their senses, they have climbed to the summit of human consciousness. To such people, a clod of dirt, a stone, and gold are the same. They are equally disposed to family, enemies, and friends, to those who support them and those who are hostile, to the good and the evil alike. Because they are impartial, they rise to great heights. Those who aspire to the state of yoga should seek the self in inner solitude through meditation. With body and mind controlled, they should constantly practice one-pointedness, free from expectations and attachment to material possessions. Select a clean spot, neither too high nor too low, and seat yourself firmly on a cloth, a deerskin, and kusha grass. Then, once seated, strive to still your thoughts. Make your mind one-pointed in meditation, and your heart will be purified. Hold your body, head, and neck firmly in a straight line, and keep your eyes from wandering. With all fears dissolved in the peace of the self, and all actions dedicated to Brahman, controlling the mind and fixing it on me, sit in meditation with me as your only goal. With senses and mind constantly controlled through meditation, united with the self within, an aspirant attains nirvana, the state of abiding joy and peace in me. Arjuna, those who eat too much or eat too little, who sleep too much or sleep too little, will not succeed in meditation. But those who are temperate in eating and sleeping, work and recreation, will come to the end of sorrow through meditation. Through constant effort, they learn to withdraw the mind from selfish cravings and absorb it in the self. Thus, they attain the state of union. When meditation is mastered, the mind is unwavering, like the flame of a lamp in a windless place. In the still mind, in the depths of meditation, the self reveals itself. Beholding the self by means of the self, an aspirant knows the joy and peace of complete fulfillment. Having attained that abiding joy beyond the senses, revealed in the stilled mind, they never swerve from the eternal truth. They desire nothing else, and cannot be shaken by the heaviest burden of sorrow. The practice of meditation frees one from all affliction. This is the path of yoga. Follow it with determination and sustained enthusiasm. Renouncing wholeheartedly all selfish desires and expectations, use your will to control the senses. Little by little, through patience and repeated effort, the mind will become stilled in the self. Wherever the mind wanders, restless and diffuse in its search for satisfaction without, lead it within. Train it to rest in the self. Abiding joy comes to those who still the mind. Freeing themselves from the taint of self-will, with their consciousness unified, they become one with Brahman. The infinite joy of touching Brahman is easily attained by those who are free from the burden of evil and established within themselves. They see the self in every creature and all creation in the self. With consciousness unified through meditation, they see everything with an equal eye. I am ever present to those who have realized me in every creature. Seeing all life as my manifestation, they are never separated from me. They worship me in the hearts of all, and all their actions proceed from me. Wherever they may live, they abide in me. When a person responds to the joys and sorrows of others as if they were his own, he has attained the highest state of spiritual union. Arjuna, O Krishna, the stillness of divine union which you describe is beyond my comprehension. How can the mind, which is so restless, attain lasting peace? Krishna, the mind is restless, turbulent, powerful, violent. Trying to control it is like trying to tame the wind. Krishna, it is true that the mind is restless and difficult to control, but it can be conquered, Arjuna, through regular practice and detachment. Those who lack self-control will find it difficult to progress in meditation, but those who are self-controlled, striving earnestly through the right means, will attain the goal. Arjuna, Krishna, what happens to one who has faith, but who lacks self-control and wanders from the path, not attaining success in yoga? If he becomes deluded on the spiritual path, will he lose the support of both worlds, like a cloud scattered in the sky? Krishna, you can dispel all doubts. Remove this doubt which binds me. Krishna, Arjuna, my son, such a person will not be destroyed. No one who does good work will ever come to a bad end, either here or in the world to come. When such people die, they go to other realms where the righteous live. They dwell there for countless years and then are reborn into a home which is pure and prosperous. Or they may be born into a family where meditation is practiced. To be born into such a family is extremely rare. The wisdom they have acquired in previous lives will be reawakened, Arjuna, and they will strive even harder for self-realization. Indeed, they will be driven on by the strength of their past disciplines. Even one who inquires after the practice of meditation rises above those who simply perform rituals. Through constant effort over many lifetimes, a person becomes purified of all selfish desires and attains the supreme goal of life. Meditation is superior to severe asceticism and the path of knowledge. It is also superior to selfless service. May you attain the goal of meditation, Arjuna. Even among those who meditate, that man or woman who worships me with perfect faith, completely absorbed in me, is the most firmly established in yoga. Chapter 7. Wisdom from Realization. Krishna. With your mind intent on me, Arjuna, discipline yourself with the practice of yoga. Depend on me completely. Listen, and I will dispel all your doubts. You will come to know me fully and be united with me. I will give you both jnana and vijnana. When both these are realized, there's nothing more you need to know. One person in many thousands may seek perfection, yet of these, only a few reach the goal and come to realize me. Earth, water, fire, air, akasha, mind, intellect, and ego. These are the 8 divisions of my prakriti. But beyond this, I have another higher nature, Arjuna. It supports the whole universe and is the source of life in all beings. In these 2 aspects of my nature is the womb of all creation. The birth and dissolution of the cosmos itself takes place in me. There is nothing that exists separate from me, Arjuna. The entire universe is suspended from me as my necklace of jewels. Arjuna, I am the taste of pure water and the radiance of the sun and moon. I am the sacred word and the sound heard in air and the courage of human beings. I am the sweet fragrance in the earth and the radiance of fire. I am the life in every creature and the striving of the spiritual aspirant. My eternal seed, Arjuna, is to be found in every creature. I am the power of discrimination in those who are intelligent, and the glory of the noble. In those who are strong, I am strength, free from passion and selfish attachment. I am desire itself, if that desire is in harmony with the purpose of life. The states of sattva, rajas, and tamas come from me, but I am not in them. These 3 gunas deceive the world. People fail to look beyond them to me, supreme and imperishable. The 3 gunas make up my divine maya, difficult to overcome. But they cross over this maya who take refuge in me. Others are deluded by maya. Performing evil deeds, they have no devotion to me. Having lost all discrimination, they follow the way of their lower nature. Good people come to worship me for different reasons. Some come to the spiritual life because of suffering. Some in order to understand life. Some come through a desire to achieve life's purpose. And some come who are men and women of wisdom. Unwavering in devotion, always united with me, the man or woman of wisdom surpasses all the others. To them, I am the dearest beloved, and they are very dear to me. All those who follow the spiritual path are blessed, but the wise, who are always established in union, for whom there is no higher goal than me, may be regarded as my very self. After many births, the wise seek refuge in me, seeing me everywhere and in everything. Such great souls are very rare. There are others whose discrimination is misled by many desires. Following their own nature, they worship lower gods, practicing various rites. When a person is devoted to something with complete faith, I unify his faith in that. Then, when faith is completely unified, one gains the object of devotion. In this way, every desire is fulfilled by me. Those whose understanding is small attain only transient satisfaction. Those who worship the gods go to the gods. But my devotees come to me. Through lack of understanding, people believe that I, the unmanifest, have entered into some form. They fail to realize my true nature, which transcends birth and death. Few see through the veil of Maya. The world, deluded, does not know that I am without birth and changeless. I know everything about the past, the present, and the future, Arjuna. But there is no one who knows me completely. Delusion arises from the duality of attraction and aversion, Arjuna. Every creature is deluded by these from birth. But those who have freed themselves from all wrongdoing are firmly established in worship of me. Their actions are pure, and they are free from the delusion caused by the pairs of opposites. Those who take refuge in me, striving for liberation from old age and death, come to know Brahman, the self, and the nature of all action. Those who see me ruling the cosmos, who see me in the Adibhuta, the Adidaiva, and the Adiyajna, are conscious of me even at the time of death. Chapter 8. The Eternal Godhead. Arjuna. O Krishna, what is Brahman? And what is the nature of action? What is the Adiyatma, the Adibhuta, and the Adidaiva? What is the Adiyajna, the supreme sacrifice? And how is it to be offered? How are the self-controlled united with you at the time of death? Krishna. My highest nature, the imperishable Brahman, gives every creature its existence and lives in every creature as Adiyatma. My action is creation and the bringing forth of creatures. The Adibhuta is the perishable body. The Adidaiva is Purusha, eternal spirit. The Adiyajna, the supreme sacrifice, is made to me as the Lord within you. Those who remember me at the time of death will come to me. Do not doubt this. Whatever occupies the mind at the time of death determines the destination of the dying. Always they will tend toward that state of being. Therefore, remember me at all times and fight on. With your heart and mind intent on me, you will surely come to me. When you make your mind one-pointed through regular practice of meditation, you will find the supreme glory of the Lord. The Lord is the supreme poet, the first cause, the sovereign ruler, subtler than the tiniest particle, the the support of all. Inconceivable, bright as the sun, beyond darkness. Remembering him in this way at the time of death, through devotion and the power of meditation, with your mind completely stilled and your concentration fixed in the center of spiritual awareness between the eyebrows, you will realize the Supreme Lord. I will tell you briefly of the eternal state all scriptures affirm, which can be entered only by those who are self-controlled and free from selfish passions. Those whose lives are dedicated to Brahman attain this supreme goal. Remembering me at the time of death, close down the doors of the senses and place the mind in the heart. Then, while absorbed in meditation, focus all energy upwards to the head. Repeating in this state the divine name, the syllable Om, that represents the changeless Brahman, you will go forth from the body and attain the supreme goal. I am easily attained by the person who always remembers me and is attached to nothing else. Such a person is a true yogi, Arjuna. Great souls make their lives perfect and discover me. They are freed from mortality and the suffering of this separate existence. Every creature in the universe is subject to rebirth, Arjuna, except the one who is united with me. Those who understand the cosmic laws know that the day of Brahma ends after 1,000 yugas, and the night of Brahma ends after 1,000 yugas. When the day of Brahma dawns, forms are brought forth from the unmanifest. When the night of Brahma comes, these forms merge in the formless again. This multitude of beings is created and destroyed again and again in the succeeding days and nights of Brahma. But beyond this formless state, there is another unmanifested reality which is eternal and is not dissolved when the cosmos is destroyed. Those who realize life's supreme goal know that I am unmanifested and unchanging. Having come home to me, they never return to separate existence. This Supreme Lord, who pervades all existence, the true self of all creatures, may be realized through undivided love. There are two paths, Arjuna, which the soul may follow at the time of death. One leads to rebirth, and the other to liberation. The 6 months of the northern path of the sun, the path of light, of fire, of day, of the bright fortnight, leads knowers of Brahman to the supreme goal. The 6 months of the southern path of the sun, the path of smoke, of night, of the dark fortnight, leads other souls to the light of the moon and to rebirth. These two paths, the light and the dark, are said to be eternal, leading some to liberation and others to rebirth. Once you have known these two paths, Arjuna, you can never be deluded again. Attain this knowledge through perseverance in yoga. There is merit in studying the scriptures, in selfless service, austerity, and giving. But the practice of meditation carries you beyond all these to the supreme abode of the highest Lord. Chapter 9, The Royal Path. Krishna, because of your faith, I shall tell you the most profound of secrets. Obtaining both jnana and vijnana, you will be free from all evil. This royal knowledge, this royal secret, is the greatest purifier. Righteous and imperishable, it is a joy to practice, and can be directly experienced. But those who have no faith in the supreme law of life do not find me, Arjuna. They return to the world, passing from death to death. I pervade the entire universe in my unmanifested form. All creatures find their existence in me, but I am not limited by them. Behold, my divine mystery. These creatures do not really dwell in me, and though I bring them forth and support them, I am not confined within them. They move in me as the winds move in every direction in space. At the end of the aeon, these creatures return to unmanifested matter. At the beginning of the next cycle, I send them forth again. Controlling my prakriti again and again, I bring forth these myriad forms and subject them to the laws of prakriti. None of these actions binds me, Arjuna. I am unattached to them, so they do not disturb my nature. Under my watchful eye, the laws of nature take their course. Thus is the world set in motion. Thus the animate and the inanimate are created. The immature do not look beyond physical appearances to see my true nature as the Lord of all creation. The knowledge of such deluded people is empty. Their lives are fraught with disaster and evil, and their work and hopes are all in vain. But truly great souls seek my divine nature. They worship me with a one-pointed mind, having realized that I am the eternal source of all. Constantly striving, they make firm their resolve and worship me without wavering. Full of devotion, they sing of my divine glory. Others follow the path of jnana, spiritual wisdom. They see that where there is one, that one is me. Where there are many, all are me. They see my face everywhere. I am the ritual and the sacrifice. I am true medicine and the mantram. I am the offering and the fire which consumes it, and the one to whom it is offered. I am the father and mother of this universe, and its grandfather too. I am its entire support. I am the sum of all knowledge, the purifier, the syllable Om. I am the sacred scriptures, the Rig, Yajur, and Sama Vedas. I am the goal of life, the Lord and support of all, the inner witness, the abode of all. I am the only refuge, the one true friend. I am the beginning, the staying, and the end of creation. I am the womb and the eternal seed. I am heat. I give and withhold the rain. I am immortality, and I am death. I am what is and what is not. Those who follow the rituals given in the Vedas, who offer sacrifices and take soma, free themselves from evil and attain the vast heaven of the gods, where they enjoy celestial pleasures. When they have enjoyed these fully, their merit is exhausted, and they return to this land of death. Thus, observing Vedic rituals but caught in an endless chain of desires, they come and go. Those who worship me and meditate on me constantly without any other thought, I will provide for all their needs. Those who worship other gods with faith and devotion also worship me, Arjuna, even if they do not observe the usual forms. I am the object of all worship, its enjoyer and Lord. But those who fail to realize my true nature must be reborn. Those who worship the Devas will go to the realm of the Devas. Those who worship their ancestors will be united with them after death. Those who worship phantoms will become phantoms. but my devotees will come to me. Whatever I am offered in devotion with a pure heart, a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I accept with joy. Whatever you do, make it an offering to me. The food you eat, the sacrifices you make, the help you give, even your suffering. In this way, you will be freed from the bondage of karma and from its results, both pleasant and painful. Then, firm in renunciation and yoga, with your heart free, you will come to me. I look upon all creatures equally. None are less dear to me, and none more dear. But those who worship me with love live in me, and I come to life in them. Even sinners become holy when they take refuge in me alone. Quickly their souls conform to Dharma, and they attain to boundless peace. Never forget this, Arjuna. No one who is devoted to me will ever come to harm. All those who take refuge in me, whatever their birth, race, sex, or caste, will attain the supreme goal. This realization can be attained even by those whom society scorns. Kings and sages, too, seek this goal with devotion. Therefore, having been born in this transient and forlorn world, give all your love to me. Fill your mind with me. Love me. Serve me. Worship me always. Seeking me in your heart, you will at last be united with me. Chapter 10. Divine Splendor. Krishna. Listen further, Arjuna, to my supreme teaching, which gives you such joy. Desiring your welfare, O strong-armed warrior, I will tell you more. Neither gods nor sages know my origin, for I am the source from which the gods and sages come. Whoever knows me as the Lord of all creation, without birth or beginning, knows the truth, and frees himself from all evil. Discrimination, wisdom, understanding, forgiveness, truth, self-control, and peace of mind, pleasure and pain, birth and death, fear and courage, honor and dishonor, non-violence, charity, equanimity, contentment, and perseverance in spiritual disciplines. All the different qualities found in living creatures have their source in me. The seven great sages and the four ancient ancestors were born from my mind and received my power. From them came all the creatures of this world. Whoever understands my power and the mystery of my manifestations comes without doubt to be united with me. I am the source from which all creatures evolve. The wise remember this and worship me with loving devotion. Their thoughts are all absorbed in me, and all their vitality flows to me. Teaching one another, talking about me always, they are happy and fulfilled. To those steadfast in love and devotion, I give spiritual wisdom so that they may come to me. Out of compassion, I destroy the darkness of their ignorance. From within them, I light the lamp of wisdom and dispel all darkness from their lives. Arjuna, you are Brahman Supreme, the highest abode, the supreme purifier, the self-luminous, eternal spirit, first among the gods, unborn and infinite. The great sages and seers, Narada, Asita, Devala, and Vyasa too, have acclaimed you thus. Now you have declared it to me yourself. Now, O Krishna, I believe that everything you have told me is divine truth. O Lord, neither gods nor demons know your real nature. Indeed, you alone know yourself, O Supreme Spirit. You are the source of being, and the master of every creature, God of gods, the Lord of the universe. Tell me all your divine attributes, leaving nothing unsaid. Tell me of the glories with which you fill the cosmos. Krishna, you are a supreme master of yoga. Tell me how I should meditate to gain constant awareness of you. In what things and in what ways should I meditate on you? O Krishna, you who stir up people's hearts, tell me in detail your attributes and your powers. I can never tire of hearing your immortal words. Krishna, all right, Arjuna, I will tell you of my divine powers. I will mention only the most glorious, for there is no end to them. I am the true self in the heart of every creature, Arjuna, and the beginning, middle, and end of their existence. Among the shining gods, I am Vishnu. Of luminaries, I am the sun. Among the storm gods, I am Marichi. And in the night sky, I am the moon. Among scriptures, I am the Samaveda. And among the lesser gods, I am Indra. Among the senses, I am the mind. And in living beings, I am consciousness. Among the Rudras, I am Shankara. Among the spirits of the natural world, I am Kubera, god of wealth, and Bhavaka, the purifying fire. Among mountains, I am Meru. Among priests, I am Brihaspati. And among military leaders, I am Skanda. Among bodies of water, I am the ocean. Among the great seers, I am Bhrigu. And among words, the syllable Om. I am the repetition of the holy name, and among mountains, I am the Himalayas. Among trees, I am the Ashvata, the sacred fig. Among the Gandhavas, the heavenly musicians, I am Chittaratra. Among divine seers, I am Narada. And among sages, I am Kapila. I was born from the nectar of immortality as the primordial horse, and as Indra's noble elephant. Among human beings, I am the king. Among weapons, I am the thunderbolt. I am Kamaduk, the cow that fulfills all desires. I am Kandarpa, the power of sex, and Vasuki, the king of snakes. I am Ananta, the cosmic serpent, and Varuna, the god of water. I am Aryaman among the noble ancestors. Among the forces which restrain, I am Yama, the god of death. Among animals, I am the lion. Among birds, the eagle, Garuda. I am Prahlada, born among the demons. And of all that measures, I am time. Among purifying forces, I am the wind. Among warriors, Rama. Of water creatures, I am the crocodile. And of rivers, I am the Ganges. I am the beginning, middle, and end of creation. Of all the sciences, I am the science of self-knowledge, and I am logic in those who debate. Among letters, I am A. Among grammatical compounds, I am the Dwandva. I am infinite time and the sustainer, whose face is seen everywhere. I am death, which overcomes all, and the source of all beings still to be born. I am the feminine qualities, fame, beauty, perfect speech, memory, intelligence, loyalty, and forgiveness. Among the hymns of the Samaveda, I am the Brihat. Among poetic meters, the Gayatri. Among months, I am Margashirsha, first of the year. Among seasons, I am spring, that brings forth flowers. I am the gambling of the gambler, and the radiance in all that shines. I am effort, I am victory, and I am the goodness of the virtuous. Among the Vrishnis, I am Krishna, and among the Pandavas, I am Arjuna. Among sages, I am Vyasa, and among poets, Ushnas. I am the scepter which metes out punishment, and the art of statesmanship in those who lead. I am the silence of the unknown, and the wisdom of the wise. I am the seed that can be found in every creature, Arjuna, for without me nothing can exist, neither animate nor inanimate. But there is no end to my divine attributes, Arjuna. These I have mentioned are only a few. Wherever you find strength, or beauty, or spiritual power, you may be sure that these have sprung from a spark of my essence. But of what use is it to you to know all this, Arjuna? Just remember that I am, and that I support the entire cosmos with only a fragment of my being.